Welcome, guys. Jesse Brown at Clear Function. I'm here with Brad and Daniel. How's it going, Daniel?
I'm really excited today. Brad's here. He's our first podcast guest. I'm Daniel Princhett. I also work here at Clear Function. Today's episode topic is developer health, and that's why we've invited Brad Montgomery. Brad, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. I am a developer. I build stuff mostly with Python, web stuff, mobile apps, and whatever else that needs to be built, right?
Just for the record, what's your favorite editor?
Vim.
Okay, good.
Please stop.
All right. So, Brad, on the topic of developer health, the reason I thought of you is I know you've given a presentation a few times on health topics and how they relate to careers. Could you tell us a bit about that and how that came about? Like, do you still talk about this regularly? Is it something you find pretty important to your lifestyle?
Sure. I find it very important. Just a little bit of background. For fun, I run long distances and have recently started riding and also pick up heavy things. So I kind of do a lot of different health-related sort of activities.
All right. Yeah, Ben and I have been doing that a bit lately. It's fun.
Yeah, you guys go to the gym before work, you know, every few days, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's good. I've got a nice routine set up with the YMCA membership between my house and the office. So leave at the right time, and I have 45 minutes there, and then I'm in the office feeling good.
Yeah, I live too far away to commute to that particular gym, but I do try to do a little bit of running usually after work. It's usually my schedule, but I do try to do a little bit of that myself just to keep myself a little healthier since we do sit down for, you know, extended periods of time.
Yeah, I hit the gym or go for a run almost every morning before work, and I just don't feel the same unless I get that in.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So personally, I'm doing 4 days a week with the weekend off and Wednesdays off, and I try to actually respect the rest time. Do you have any particular rest philosophy?
Yeah, at least one day a week. So I'm usually 3 days a week at the gym, and then weekends I might do either a long run or a long ride, sometimes both. So if I fill my weekends full of activity, I'll make sure I get one rest day during the week.
Yeah, I try to run maybe three times a week, three or four times a week. I don't overdo it. I'm not much of a, I don't really, I'll say it, you know, I'll be the one to say it. I don't really like working out or really like doing a lot of that stuff, but I do feel better when it's done. But I just don't get the high that a lot of people get for like running, you know, and like really, really pushing themselves to the limits, like physically. I just do it to maintain a healthier lifestyle, but I'm not like into it. It's just not really like my hobby. I don't really have any you know, desire to be, you know, the next Usain Bolt or anything like that. I just do it because I know I need to do it. It's just a requirement. It's a box to check, you know, every week.
I've heard that if you don't get the runner's high, you maybe just haven't run far enough. So maybe you need to run like 4 hours and you'll finally get delirious.
I think that would just make me hate it even more.
Yeah, right. You just keep going until you either have an epiphany or you die, and then you'll know.
You know, I think Daniel's got a point, though. There are times when I'll do like a 30-minute workout. It's just not a lot of fun. However, this year I ran my first 50-miler.
Nice.
And that was 10 hours straight of running, and that was that's probably some of the most fun that I've had in a long time.
Wow. That is a long run. How long did it take?
10 hours and 9 minutes on relatively flat course.
Yeah.
It was tough.
So here in Memphis probably.
No, it was down in Mississippi, but it
still
was
flat.
Yeah.
That's cool. So did you get to eat a lot along the way?
Man, chips and brownies. Like,
ooh.
So they every few miles they have aid stations, basically a table of junk food.
Volunteers handing out water and junk food just to keep the calories in.
Yeah, so I alternated between water and some energy drink and, you know, ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and chips and brownies, and it was pretty great.
And probably still lost, like, you know, 5 pounds by the end of it, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I didn't weigh, but...
Yeah, I got you.
It was pretty intense.
A lot of calories, yeah.
So, guys, this is really fun. I feel like right now we're all agreeing with each other. Maybe, Brad, can you tell us a bit more, like, from your presentations in the past, how you might sell this to someone who's not already on board with the importance of exercise and food and other health concerns and keeping your, I don't know, keeping your career on track or your personal well-being?
Yeah, so you mentioned a talk that I gave a while back, and that was probably one of the most awkward feeling talks I've ever given, like as a presenter, because I talked about food and how it affects sort of your mental well-being and your health, and I got a lot of blank stares in the audience, and I just don't really feel like I sold it.
Do you remember what the food was provided that night? Were we having pizza, burritos?
I think there was maybe tacos.
Okay.
Which I totally ate.
Right.
But you know, I can speak from personal experience, right? So, and everybody's different, but I went through probably a 10-year period where I was pretty sedentary. I spent most of my hours sitting in front of a computer working, and you know, I just remember that a lot of time I just didn't feel good.
Right.
And it's not, I guess maybe within the last 5 years or so that I've started making exercise a regular part of my schedule. And like you said earlier, Jesse, it just, you check that box, and it turns out like during the day I feel better. Mm-hmm. And then when you bring in healthy food and you cut out, you know, things that aren't good for you, or believe it or not, some food actually makes you feel bad. And you mm-hmm. might not even realize it until you cut that stuff out and give yep. your time self to, you know, give your body a chance to sort of heal. Just feeling good, mm-hmm. I think, will greatly boost your productivity at work. You know, not feeling tired all day long helps me stay on task. It helps me think more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And this talk that I gave, a lot of that was that, hey, some foods actually promote clarity and like mental acuity. And so you're actually going to be better at this very challenging mental task that we do when we build software.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree there. I do feel better on the days that I, you know, on the days after I exercise, I wake up the next morning and I feel better. I feel more productive. And so I do think there's something to that. But like I said before, it's not really something that I do every day. And so sure. I don't see like a huge difference, but I do feel better just physically. And I think that just makes me, you know, I think it makes me a better developer, but I wouldn't say by like miles or anything, but I think mm-hmm. it's going to make me a better developer and make me be able to be a developer longer.
Yeah.
And that's important to me as well. Right. I like, because we sit down, you know, I do a lot of sitting at work, a lot of sitting at home. I play a lot of games. I do a lot of stuff on the computer at home. So, you know, from computer to computer, I do, you know, it probably 10 hours of sitting at least a day.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure to be able to be healthy enough that I don't have to sit, and also healthy enough that I can, you know, actually get out and play, you know, play and do things with, you know, family and friends and continue developing for many years. You know,
right.
I don't want to be retired because of health issues. And so,
yeah, I would never claim that exercising in the morning makes me twice as productive when I come in. It doesn't, like, I don't know that it really raises the top end of my potential in a day, but it means I have fewer bad days. Like if I'm consistent about getting in 2, 3, 4 times a week, then I'm less likely to just be completely wiped out for no good reason and unable to focus for days on end. So that's the way it is for me. Jesse, did you mention earlier which particular types of fitness stuff works for you?
Yeah, I mean, mostly I just do some jogging.
Cool.
And you know, do, you know, the push-ups, and you know, I have some dumbbells that I lift, you know, but nothing intense. I don't pay for a gym membership or anything like that.
Right.
Do
you have your own dumbbells?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, they're nothing crazy. I'm not like putting, you know, 100-pound weights and like curling those.
Right.
I mean, if anyone knows who I am, I mean, you can see the results are not. I'm no like strongman or anything like that.
Yeah. Should we include shots and swimsuits with this episode?
Oh, no. No, this episode would just be thrown away immediately.
All right.
What do you guys do while you're at work to make sure to kind of, you know, get into the obvious things, like as you develop, what do you think are some healthy things to do while you're at work?
Well, that's a really good question. I was kind of wondering like what the various components of health and well-being might be, especially as it relates to work, because sure, we've been talking about exercise. I know Brad probably has a lot to say about food, and I'll let him get to that in a minute. And then also, I'm really big on ergonomics, not necessarily just as a hobby, but because ever since my first quote-unquote real development job, I've had a chronic pain in my right wrist, and I have lots and lots of habits I've developed to manage it. And I don't know, it's possible that some sort of surgery would make the problem less of a problem, but I've never really wanted to go there. So I've got tons of stuff I do every day that people might not even notice that just keep me able to sit down and do
what are some of those things? I mean, obviously, first, I guess, start off with kind of the hardware that you use,
right,
that you think makes those less of an issue every day.
Okay, sure. So first off, I have a trackball. It's a cheap old trackball with two buttons, and I can't even scroll properly, which, you know, it's awkward, but I get the job done. And that I use with my right hand. Again, the right hand's the one with the issue. I'm, for what it's worth, I'm left-hand dominant. But anyway, yeah. So I've got the trackball. I've got a Kinesis Freestyle keyboard. It's a split keyboard, which I think Brad has had one. Brad has tons of keyboards. Hopefully he'll grace us with some discussion of that soon, too. But so this keyboard, not only is it split, like you might have seen the Microsoft ergonomic keyboard, it's pretty popular. It splits. It's not super expensive. But the thing is that the angles of, if you look at your wrist and think of it moving in multiple dimensions, you can move it up and down, left and right, side to side. So with the Microsoft split keyboard, most of the angles are set in stone. They did split it, so your hands aren't parallel to each other when you're right. typing. They're at a certain fixed angle, and then you could maybe raise or lower it with something under it, pull it closer or farther. But with something like Kinesis, it's got more adjustability. The two pieces are only connected by a wire, so you can rotate them around however they want, depending on what your elbow angle needs to be today. You can raise and lower, so there's a slope from the center down to the edges. That's huge for me.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. I guess I didn't even know that you were left-hand dominant. And so you actually use the trackball with your right hand?
Yeah. So back in college when I played way too many video games, I had like a fancy mouse and a fancy trackpad so I could be better at Counter-Strike. Not that I was really good at it, but, you know, I cared.
Yeah.
So I would mouse left at work just so I could minimize the number of hours I was putting on my proper mousing
That's
hand.
That's commitment.
Because I knew, well, it wasn't that I was, I mean, so I was not ever going to be a super competitive gamer. I just liked it, right? So it's more like, if you think about, I don't know, this is a really lame version of, say, Major League Baseball's pitch count. So if I'm already putting 6 hours a night on my right hand playing Counter-Strike, and I have 8 hours plus at the job, I can't get to 14 hours a day on the sore wrist.
This is so fascinating to me, because I've played games for as long as I could, basically,
right?
and I still play them today, and I've never once thought about the number of hours I've used on like one hand and been like, you know, thinking of it like a pitcher. Like I've been fortunate to not have any issues
sure.
with my
oh,
wrist
yeah.
or anything like that. And so obviously you've thought about that a lot more because you've had those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fascinating to me that you've actually ended up, you know, using both hands mm-hmm. for like using the mouse. Cause I can't even imagine using my left hand for anything besides typing. I
right.
couldn't, you know, I don't think I could swap over and use like
well,
a
left. That was one benefit, being left-handed. I actually played around with classic two-button mice in the 80s and 90s. Do we even use mice in the 80s? I don't know. Maybe the 90s. And so I was used to mousing left or right, depending, but it did help to spread the load a bit. And
interesting.
Nowadays, I've got these rubber bands that I use to flex my fingers, like put all five fingers inside a little rubber band and then spread them outward. That's supposed to be sort of an antagonistic
right.
motion.
Yep. They've had the similar ones for like yeah. just like your actual like shoulders and stuff. Like
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah.
So the idea is that with all the typing and pushing, like most of what you do is exerting force on the forearm muscles on the bottom side of your arm because you're pushing down when you type, whereas with the rubber band you're going the opposite direction, so you're kind of loosening those by exercising the antagonist muscles. And then I've also got a lacrosse ball. It's like a $5 piece of rubber, about 3 inches in diameter, that I can use to rub around to dig into to tissue. Like, again, just rub it around my
right.
forearms when they're feeling bad. And that's, I'm sure some of you have seen or heard of foam rollers. This is like that, but in harder to reach places. It's kind of hard to foam roll your forearm unless you're doing a handstand, which is not my forte.
Right.
Okay, so I can't tell you everything right now. I think it's time for someone else
yeah,
to
Brad,
jump in.
Yeah, Brad, what do you do for hardware, like every day?
I also have a trackball, and like Daniel, I've dealt with wrist soreness. I think some of that runs in my family. Also, for many years, gosh, 10 years almost, I had severe neck pain, and I spent years and years like going to doctors, getting MRIs, trying to figure out what was going on. And
mm-hmm.
so ergonomics is huge for me. And so I work from home most of the time. I have an adjustable desk.
Ooh.
And I don't stand as much as I used to, but I still stand maybe a couple hours a day. The trackball, I love my mechanical keyboard. I actually have the same keyboard that Daniel has, and I use it for a while, and I like an ergo split keyboard, but that particular one doesn't have mechanical keys, and
yes.
I just miss those a lot. So I rotate two or three different keyboards.
Yeah, I rotate keyboards as well, so I'm in that same camp. I actually have the, you were mentioning the Microsoft sort of ergonomic one, mm-hmm. that everyone has. I have, that's what I use here in the office, and the only reason I use it here in the office is because it's slightly ergonomical, which I feel good about, but also because I sit too close to everyone else to bring mm-hmm. in a mechanical keyboard, because I also use a mechanical keyboard at home.
What kind of keys?
I think they're just blues. I didn't build it myself or anything. They're very clicky, and yeah. And I really love. This was my first mechanical keyboard. I got it, I think, Christmas ago or so,
mm-hmm.
and I swapped it out. I've really only hooked up my other Microsoft ergonomic one a couple times when I got into some real deep coding sessions.
Right.
But I really love the travel of the mechanical keys. Whenever we move desks around at some point, I'll probably try to bring in a mechanical keyboard. I actually think I feel better after typing on it all day than I do with the other one. I don't find the keys to be as, the keys are too squishy, even though it has the ergonomics for mm-hmm. my wrist. I find that the actual, my fingers are less tired after using it for a long time. And it's more enjoyable.
It's weird. You can't really understand that until you actually spend days typing on a mechanical keyboard. It's a different experience.
Yeah,
I haven't used one since elementary school. I remember we had those old giant IBM PCs for typing class in first and second grade, and they were loud and fun. So I've at least read about the supposed benefits of mechanical keys, and from what I can tell, the standard keyboards, it's more of a rubber thing where you click a switch, and the idea is that you have to push it all the way down, and then you're finger or wrist or whatever absorbs the impact of those repetitive motions because you're smacking it into a hard surface, whereas with a mechanical key it's more like crossing a threshold, so you're moving down the traveling path of a spring, and once you make it past two-thirds that registers as a keystroke when you come back up, so you don't have to have the mashing. The best I could think of for an analogy a couple weeks ago was, say, running on the road versus running on a concrete sidewalk. If anyone's ever run for more than a few weeks, you've probably read advice: try not to run on the sidewalk. It's hell on your knees. You may as well hit the asphalt or the grass if you can. So that's the way I feel about the non-mechanical keyboards.
Yeah, I don't know
keyboards.
The actual mechanical or the, like, you know, the medical benefits of them, but I enjoy it, and I don't feel any more pain than if I don't use one. So I just, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but I really like them, and I haven't really, I didn't buy it for, you know, medical reasons or anything.
So. It's fascinating how people can still be into that without necessarily having the pressing need. Like, I might buy organic food at the grocery store because it makes me feel like it's a good idea. You know, I drive a hybrid. It's probably good for the environment, but I'm not seeing the immediate benefits of global warming or, I don't know, whatever fossil fuel problems I may be ameliorating.
Yeah. So unlike you guys, I don't use a trackball. I'm not completely insane. No, I don't. You know, I was gonna really rip on you guys for using a trackball. I don't know how it came to be that I'm in a room with two people in the year 2016 that use trackballs, but I can't really rip into you guys because you both use it for health reasons, and you've had you know, health things to actually lead you to try something else, and that and that helps your pain or whatever, helps you manage your manage potential for pain, and so the. So it's really interesting. I've just never had any wrist problems or anything, and I couldn't use a trackball. Like, I don't feel like that would be very productive. The only thing that trackball would be good for would be making me use more keyboard shortcuts.
So Brad mentioned having a family history of related issues, and that reminded me that both my mother and her mother have had arthritis, and so I've kind of always assumed that any kind of chronic wrist issues I have are at least somewhat related to that, is some sort of genetic history. Again, I went to one therapist once and charged me a lot of money for a one-hour consult that wasn't covered by insurance, and that's what's really inspired me to look up other things. Like, for instance, my keyboard cost $100, which sounds crazy. Who spends $100 on a keyboard? You can get one for $10. But whenever I'm having to do the math, I'm like, well, or I could pay $150 an hour to go to this therapist for the rest of my life. Maybe I should buy a lot of keyboards. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think $100 for a tool that you use 8 to 10 hours a day every single day
will last you still 2-3 years probably. Yeah. Like, when's the last time you had to replace a keyboard because it broke? Like, even the cheapest keyboards generally last like multiple years.
Yeah. Right,
and the mechanical keyboards last even longer. So, two other bits of gear that I think are really important as far as ergonomics are concerned. One, your chair. If you're sitting in, I think it's really worth the money to buy a comfortable chair. You got to try it out. It's got to fit you.
Yeah.
And then two, I have my monitor on a ergonomic arm that you can adjust, and that is I spent $100 on it, and that is probably the single best piece of computing hardware I've ever bought.
Wow.
I love it. Just so with the standing desk, mm-hmm. being able to adjust it to eye level, and then even it sitting, you know, everybody's built different, and your desk is at different height, but like just being able to have your monitor perfectly at eye level all mm-hmm. the time yeah. is really, really good.
Yeah, I have a monitor stand attached to my, I went through some of these things you're talking about that you have now, like, you know, when I worked at home for a year or so, the first thing I bought was a chair, because after the first month, I had just like lower back pain. I'm like, man, this turns out this like, you know, $30 chair that I've had for years in here is really bad when you sit in it for mm-hmm. 8 hours a day. And so, you know, I spent, I think it was like $400 or something on a chair, and I couldn't believe it, but like it was the best decision ever. And the same thing goes for like the monitor stands. I mostly bought it because I wanted to have two monitors next to each other, and I didn't really have the desk space for the bases, but like you said, it was a really nice purchase after it was all said and done, because I got to put the arms are adjustable and everything right next to each other. And so I did get a much better adjustment for, you know, where I sit day in, day out, than the monitor stand itself ever allowed me to do. But I didn't get in a habit of adjusting it like often or anything like that. So, but I do like the, you know, it angled and all mm-hmm. sorts of stuff. And
I change mine when I sit versus stand.
And that's classic ergonomic advice. There may be sort of an ideal position that you want to try to go for when you sit down or stand up, but it's just as important to move around frequently. Like, just because you have everything just so doesn't mean you're free to sit in this perfect spot for 12 hours because your elbows are just right. Like, that's not really the point.
Yep.
Okay, we've definitely gone pretty deep on ergonomics. Do you guys have any other facets of health, whether it's, I don't know, inside or outside the office, that you find particularly meaningful for your continued ability to do the work?
I think inside the office, just to continue on with the office trend, is taking breaks, you know, making sure that you get up and walk around. You know, occasionally we'll get up and walk around the office around here when it's nice outside.
Right.
Or walk to the store next door, just to sort of make sure you're getting up and getting the blood flowing. And and also just for, it's good for your mind as well to just go out there and talk to other people. You know, don't just stay in your little zone all day long for 8 hours a day coding. It's healthy to get up and go talk to people about non-work things, and it'll really help, I think, your developer productivity as well. Just to, as soon as you step away from something and come back in, it's like looking at it with fresh eyes, and there's a good chance you'll come up with a much better solution than you would have if you were exhausted from, even if you don't realize it.
I drink lots of water.
Cool.
And that indirectly helps with mm-hmm. what you're talking about, because you drink plenty of water, you're going to have to stand up periodically.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I drink a ton, and I go to the restroom a lot. I will say, going on walks, I love that. I find that I have to make a conscious effort to get sunlight on a regular basis because of the aforementioned typing all day, and mm-hmm. you know, I have a smartphone that I really like, and we've got a TV at the house. I may go to the gym and exercise for 45 minutes, but that's indoors. I mean, this morning I was in the pool some, but there are many days where I get like 10 minutes of sunlight, whether or not I actually get exercise. So I think there's some recommendation, like, I don't know, 15 minutes a day minimum of sunlight is good for your body for various vitamins and processes.
God, 10 minutes in sunlight in the summer in Memphis is like, I don't know, you sweat a lot. It's really hot. It's really hard to just stand out there for 10 minutes, even if you're just walking mm-hmm. sometimes, because I mean, the summers in Memphis are, you know, well over 100 degrees for a lot of the summer. And then of course it's just bitterly cold when it becomes, you know, December.
Yeah. That might be easier if you're living in a city on the West Coast, if the temperature is always between 60 and 75 or something, you can make a habit of walking to the grocery store or whatever you do. But here, I've been walking my dog a lot lately. I've got a puppy. He's coming up on a year old. And I mostly don't take him out till after 8, when it's almost completely dark and the temperature's down below 90 again. And lately I've been switching out of my jeans into shorts just so it could be a little bit more comfortable. And I wear sandals to get some airflow. I mean, it's weird how much you have to think about something like taking a walk. I guess I could just go out there and suck it up and sweat all over my jeans. And sometimes I do, but it's hard. Another thing, you mentioned going on a walk and clearing your mind. I'm really bad when it comes to presence and being fully involved in a single situation. And I think the magic of smartphones is part of what enables me to be bad at that. Like, say, even on these walks with my dog, I'm usually listening to a podcast on my headset, and I would like to be better at taking deep breaths and being in one place doing one thing at a time, but I don't know. I'd say some of that flightiness has helped me to be a bit of a magpie in terms of finding and applying useful bits of knowledge at work and at home, and so that's useful professionally, but attention span is something I'd love to cultivate.
I used to listen to music when I would run, mm-hmm. and I'm not even sure when I stopped doing that, but somewhere along the way, I just stopped. Yeah. And, you know, when you're running circles around a block in your neighborhood, it can be a little boring, but I find that I just kind of, like, breathe and just put one foot in front of the other. Trail running is something that I like a lot, and I you know, you have to put a little more effort to find a place to do that, mm-hmm. but
right.
I found that I've had moments of zen running through the woods, right? It's been something that I've really enjoyed.
I can see that. I've only really run in the woods a handful of times, but they were generally more meaningful to me than your average run around the neighborhood.
Do you guys listen to music while you code? I know that's always a very sort of personal decision. I know people who they put on headphones just to block out the noise.
Ooh,
and there's people who actually put on headphones to listen to music.
That's a good one. I don't know if either of you guys have ever read the book PeopleWare. It's about processes and teams, written, I think, in the 90s by some veteran IT consultants. It's got a whole slew of ideas and some research about constructing what you might call a hygienic office environment. And they make a strong point that headphones are more of a coping mechanism than an ideal situation. Like, if you find yourself not in the ideal situation with privacy and focus, headphones are better than nothing. But they do studies like something like they had a bunch of people doing math problems with a clever solution that would be twice as effective as the obvious solution. And people with the headphones would always wind up achieving the normal solution, and only people with perfect quiet in an ideal environment ever found like the good stuff. So
yeah, I've done both. I guess before I got into mechanical keyboards, I amassed a collection of different headphones. So I have a couple of $100 plus pair of headphones.
Nice.
And they're very comfortable, and they're, you know, great sound quality. But more and more, since I work at home most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and I can have total quiet, I often just don't listen to music. Now, I spent a bunch of yesterday writing some tests.
Right.
It's not the most demanding of work. So mm-hmm. I cranked on some tunes and sort of enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But so I switch. It kind of depends on what I'm doing. If it's a hard problem, total silence is something.
What was the relation there to mechanical keyboards? Do you just like the clicks? Is that what you were?
No.
Or is that just
collections?
Spending money building collections.
Okay. I was like, because
expensive toys.
Okay. How about, so we mentioned music. I guess I didn't give my opinion on that. I like music. I can't really focus on anything with vocals. Like, lately I've been reviewing episodes of this podcast while working, and I find that I just miss 10 minutes of content while I'm working, because programming is a linguistic activity. Mm-hmm. And so my brain is processing those words, like either reading them or writing them, composing them. And so I just completely lose that. But then if I'm doing some sort of repetitive work, maybe I've got some flow going, like Brad mentioned, writing a lot of tests, then I can do great with some non-vocal electronic music. That's my go-to for just focusing on something. Not really intense problem solving, more cranking out work where it's not super hard, it just needs doing. That'll help me get some sort of focus and flow going.
Right. Yeah, I listen to music. I listen with vocals. I pretty much listen to it almost all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will just put on the headphones to zone out loud conversations that are going on that I'm not involved in.
Right.
But a lot of times I like that background noise isn't bad, so long as it's not above a certain sort of decibel level. Because sometimes you find yourself needing to be involved suddenly, mm-hmm. Helping out a problem that you didn't realize you could help out on. So mm-hmm. I like being involved in those office conversations.
Yeah.
So I don't normally like to just lock myself out with headphones if I can. So I know we have a company speaker back here, Sonos of some mm-hmm. sort, that we throw music to and listen to as a group, which is kind of, and it's at a low enough volume that the vocals aren't distracting, I hope.
there's definitely different configurations of social office work, and people, so say maybe a Facebook might repurpose a hangar to put 1,000 developers in the same room, and claim that's great productivity. I don't believe that at all. But a small environment where you've got, say, a handful of people mostly working on the same thing, that's good. And around here, when people have long phone calls, they're generally courteous enough to leave the room. So yep. It's all right. And we definitely have a lot of gains from having two or three of us on the same project, being able to talk to each other without having to go hunt each other down. But again, I feel that having a place to escape to for privacy is nice if you don't need that collaboration or communication.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
For what it's worth, we're welcome to work from home as needed. And I do that a couple of days a week just on principle. It helps me just to shake things up. Do you ever find that you're needing to have more people around you? You mentioned you work from home a lot. I did that for a year, and I'd get to the point where I was so lacking social contact, I'd go to the grocery store, get a haircut in the middle of the day just so I could have a chance to, again, get some sunlight, but really talk to humans, maybe shake a hand. It was really big.
Well, yeah, I've been working from home or remotely for a number of years, and I worked for a company based in San Jose, and so I was the only truly distant person on the team. But yeah, like I would often do a trail run during the middle of the day, or you know, I had some running buddies that I would catch up with on the weekends, or we have local tech lunches. I would go to that. So there were plenty of opportunities to get some social contact.
But I did find it a lot easier to do the workout things when I worked from home.
Oh yeah,
because I could just weave it in whenever I felt like, hey, I need a break and I still need to do my workout for the day.
Yeah,
where, you know, driving in, I drive quite a distance to the office every day. And driving in and driving back pretty much limits me to put my stuff in the same time that it always is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, when I was working at home, I had this CrossFit thing, a membership that I was enjoying as all the way through last summer. But then when I started here, the CrossFit place, they had scheduled class hours. You can't just show up and do 30 minutes whenever you want, like I'm doing now at the Y. And it was in the opposite direction from the office. So I just suddenly went from going 3-4 days a week to not going at all for 6 months. And that had serious negative impacts on me. If you could just measure the way I look, the way I feel, the way I perform 6 months ago or 8 months ago versus 2 months ago, it'd be pretty obvious. I'm really glad that I gave up on that. I finally admitted that wasn't going to happen and got a membership at the Y again this summer, which is cool because my daughter wanted to go swimming there, and there's a pool right next to our house, so we go there.
Nice.
And that's what got me back into being able to do my simple weightlifting routine 4 days a week thing, and now I'm feeling so much better. And just being able to admit to myself that the thing that used to be working isn't going to work now with my new lifestyle, because I am commuting. It's 15 minutes, so say I come in 3-4 days a week, that's, I don't know, some multiplication, which is not going to work for me today. Every week. So yeah, I don't have quite as much time to go to the gym when I want. And having people in different time zones, like you mentioned, that definitely can throw it off. Like if everybody else is 2 hours behind in California and you want to go running in the middle of the day, I think there's a little bit of human confusion there where they're not really going to understand. Like, it's probably midnight where Brad is anyway. Who cares what he's doing? He'll come back and do his work when he's ready, right?
Right. Something like that. Yeah. You know, being remote, most of the companies that I've worked for, as long as you get stuff done and you keep making progress, they don't care too much. You know, with the company that I work with now, that's pretty much how we treat everybody. Just
right.
get your stuff done. And there's a lot of flexibility as far as hours, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the most part, they know that being fit and being healthy and feeling good is going to contribute a lot to being productive.
Right.
So it's really nice when you have employers that get that.
So one problem I did have when I was working remotely, I loved all the freedoms to be able to go where I wanted to and do what I needed to during the day, but it led to me not really enforcing or defining my own boundaries very well. Like, I started out taking meetings in the car on my Bluetooth headset. And that was great because now I can take my kid to ballet lessons and she can do that. And that's good for her and good for the family. But suddenly I wound up always being in the car, always being on a meeting. And my work kind of grew from 8 hours, 5 days a week to 6 hours, 9 days a week, right? My family never really knew when I was on and when I was off. So that created some subtle tension around the house. It's hard to really maintain that.
Yeah, you guys have to work on that. Work-life balance is important, just as important as eating and work and health, I think. You know, just health in general.
Yeah, and it's not even like I was working 100 hours a week. It's just that I wasn't even honest with myself about when I was and wasn't working. So it was impossible for my family to really know how to depend on me.
Yeah, I think that's more difficult to manage when you're working from home. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, your office is at home, your office is your car. Mm-hmm. And so those boundaries aren't nearly as defined as, well, I left work for the day. In a typical office scenario. And so
you guys ever had a meeting while walking around in Target? I've done that, and I can't recommend it.
Yes, and I also don't recommend it, right? For me, I have pretty standard business hours and a dedicated space at home with a door that I can close. So it's well known within my family when I'm at work.
Yeah.
And you mentioned your family. I was just thinking the three of us are all parents here, and I think that helps to force us to have a bit of consistency in scheduling. If you're alone or maybe just don't have kids, then you have a little bit more flexibility. If you want to work until 2 a.m., so be it. But if you're also responsible for getting up at 5 or 6 and taking the kids to school, then that puts a bit of...
Yeah, I had pretty consistent hours as well. But the flexibility was great to just be able to work late into the night and, head out early in the day to take care of, home matters or whatever. But it was pretty easy. Like you said, I had an office as well. Just close the door. I'm working. And I pretty much kept a standard sort of core, 7 hours in a day and just sort of flex the rest of the time out whenever it made sense. Yeah. So, Brad, why don't you wrap us up? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and if you have any final thoughts on this topic.
All right, so I've kind of got my hands in a lot of stuff. I'm all over the place. I run a local Python user group in Memphis called MemPy. You can check it out at mempy.org. I'm also part of the Memphis Technology Foundation, and we have an upcoming conference called Tech Camp. It's going to be great. It's on November the 5th. That's a Saturday. It's going to be free this year. And thanks to... collaboration with the FedEx Institute of Technology at University of Memphis.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
We need speakers. So design and marketing and development. And if you do anything with a computer or if you're in a startup, you probably have something worth sharing at a conference like this. So,
we'll try to get some presence out there ourselves.
You can Google Tech Camp Memphis and you'll probably find us. There's a hackathon coming up and Hack Memphis. That's sooner. That's in October, September. I don't even know.
Hackathon Memphis.
Soon. Yeah.
How about DevSpace?
Oh, yes. And I'm also speaking at DevSpace. I'm giving two talks.
Nice.
One on Markov chains, which is a little hobby of mine, and another kind of an introductory level to building web applications with Django, which is a Python framework for building web apps.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And we'll see you there. We've got a few speakers here from Clear Function as well. Daniel's giving a talk, as well as David Mahundro and also Brian Langford here from Clear Function. So we'll be at DevSpace, and that's in...
October,
sometime.
I'll put it on the blog. We'll
and it's in
it.
Huntsville, Alabama. That's right. All right. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for coming out, and we'll talk to you guys later. We'll have you later.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to It Depends, a podcast by Clear Function. Clear Function is a group of happy engineers based in Memphis, Tennessee. We partner with visionaries to bring their ideas to life. For more information, check out our website at clearfunction.com.